Hey folks, here are OS Reviews. You're watching our video review of the Oppo Find 7 in 2015 and whether or not you should still consider purchasing one of these smartphones. You can get it directly through Amazon.com or also through Oppo's website for roughly $400. It's still a little bit on the pricier side of the spectrum, however specs are absolutely top-notch, including a 2K display with a popping resolution that matches the LG G3. Whereas on a lot newer Android smartphones powered by Oppo, you'll find that resolution has been actually decreased to 1080p HD resolution. Of course, the difference between 1080p screens and 2K screens can't really be seen with the human eye, however, in terms of specs, this one is technically just that a little bit better. Otherwise, we have a Snapdragon 801 processor, which is quad-core, clocked at 2.5 GHz. There's also 3 gigs of RAM, in addition to 32 gigs of internal storage, expandable via a microSD card slot, and of course, that gorgeous 5.5-inch display. So in terms of the camera resolution, there is a 13-megapixel camera on the very back that's powered by Sony with an LED flash, and the front features a 5.0-megapixel camera for taking selfies, as well as using WeChat and other video chatting applications. First of all, the Find 7 is very similar to the OnePlus 1 series of smartphones. Now, the OnePlus 2 actually has a very similar design with the Find 7 just because it now has a metal rim, just like the Find 7. So you can see an aluminum build around the entire frame of the phone, which makes it feel very reassuring in the hand. With that being said, the Find 7 is quite a hefty phone to hold. At 5.5 inches, it's already a lot larger than some more compact phones around 4.5 inches or 5 inches, and with this added weight, it feels substantial, like a quality device, but it also will weigh you down just that tiny bit. It's also not the thinnest phone in the world, but it does feel very sleek and stylish. The black version here has a almost carbon fiber-like look to it, and there is a stereo speaker on the back that offers a very good audio quality. There's also the Oppo logo in addition to the aforementioned camera slot. You can actually remove the back cover here to have access to the SIM card slot in addition to the 3000 mAh capacity battery, which offers quick charge technology. With the thing about the back cover, however, is that there is a tiny little slot here that you need to press with a pen or a needle in order to open it first, and this becomes a little bit irritating if you plan on swapping out your cards against this unlocked phone when you're roaming around or traveling, so this is something to take note of. The back cover on its own is kind of difficult to remove. It feels like a unibody design and has a very reassuring feel. It doesn't creak or cringe, but at the same time, pulling this plate off is a bit of a challenge. In terms of the actual operating system, we have Android 4.3, which is again a little disappointing in the day where we should have Lollipop, even though Oppo has promised an update very soon. At least the China version that we have here is still stuck on 4.3. Technically, a 4.4 version is now available with ColorOS 2.0 version installed. And again, speaking of ColorOS, it's basically the manufacturer's skin on top of Android, and it's a pretty good skin. It's light, it's not too overfilled with any extras and applications that you don't really need, and it still provides an app Sure, which is a bit rare in Chinese smartphones these days. They tend to go with a more Xiaomi UI-inspired look, where it's very similar to Apple smartphones that you have basically no app drawer, but you have unlimited number of pages to populate with your favorite widgets as well as applications. Taking a look at the display here, again, viewing angles and color saturation is absolutely not an issue. This is one of the best displays I've personally seen, and again, at 2K resolution, it is the enjoyable experience to watch any video clips and to browse the web. It's a substantial size and you definitely enjoy it for any tasks you do with the screen. It's also pretty sensitive, although it's not as sensitive as some phones by LG and Samsung I've seen in the past, but it's also not bad at all. Otherwise, the actual call quality on the Oppo Find 7 is absolutely great. The microphone here is crystal clear and one of the best mics I've tested on a smartphone. In fact, it actually sounds like you're recording it with a professional studio mic. I was taken aback, and when I tried calling users using the phone here, they actually thought I was using a LAN phone, and a very secure LAN phone at that. So as far as call quality and reception goes, this one is top-notch, and as a cell phone, it certainly excels. On the other hand of the spectrum, I can't say the same about the battery life. For some reason, maybe it's colorless, maybe it's the 2K display, maybe it's the processor, but the battery drains around 20% overnight, and that's not even doing much. That's just leaving the Wi-Fi or maybe the 4G turn on, and so that's certainly pretty disappointing. You do need to charge this a lot. Luckily, again, this particular phone does have a quick charge technology. It's proprietary and designed by Oppo before Qualcomm rolled out the Quick Charge 2.0 chipsets, and so it allows you to charge the phone under an hour. With that being said, you do need to charge it pretty frequently, so that kind of levels the playing field. Taking a look at the feature set here and how the phone runs. You can see it is crystal smooth, as you would expect, with the chipset as well as 3 gigs of RAM packed underneath the hood. Everything runs very smoothly, and ColorOS again gives you the application drawer. There are a few extras preloaded on the market version here that we have that is actually available in Asia as well as in Beijing. So that comes included with things like the Weibo, as well as AutoNav, which are navigational services, and search clients, as well as video services proprietary to China. The international version of the Find 7 does not have as many of these applications pre-installed, and I should also note that the version that we have here actually does not have the Google Play Store or the Marketplace pre-installed as well, just because it's banned in China by the government. And so you won't find YouTube, although you can certainly access it by yourself and download it like we did later on, but that's something to note. Now, there are 3 capacitive home keys on the very bottom here. These are physical keys as opposed to being on screen, which I actually think is a good feature to have just because it doesn't take up any screen real estate. With that being said, they do have a backlight, although they are extremely dim, and they are difficult to see even under darker environments. I would have wished that these lights could have been just a bit more bright. Something else I'm not a huge fan of with the Find 7 is that it comes with a pre-applied screen protector. That on itself is actually a good thing, but this particular screen protector is basically a mirror screen protector. It makes the phone look very shiny and very beautiful, but it attracts fingerprints like crazy. And just after a few moments of usage, it gets covered in a layer of dust as well as fingerprints. Of course, the redeeming quality here is the fact that the screen is highly dense, so it's extremely impressive in terms of the actual image quality and the viewing angles. And of course, it's protected by Corning's Gorilla Glass 3, which makes it extra tough and resistant to any elements and accidental drops that you might have here and there. In terms of other performance aspects, there's of course Wi-Fi, GPS, Bluetooth, all those extras we've come to expect, and we can easily browse the web by giving you guys a quick look. So the web browser here with this particular version is set to default using Sohu as the search client rather than Google, but we can set this up and change those settings easily through the browser. But let's say I want to go to the New York Times, which is a benchmark for a very complex site, and check out how the full site version of that loads. As you can see, we're currently using Wi-Fi to browse the web, and it's working pretty nicely. It's pretty fast, it's snappy, it's responsive, and there's almost no delay between something I tap on. You certainly won't find any checkerboard patterns like we did with early generation Android and iOS smartphones. So the full version is taking a little bit longer to load because there are more complex elements like videos as well as text and graphics here and there. But overall, you can still load videos and you can play them directly through the browser. I can also slide through any interactive elements, as you can see here. Pinch to zoom is lucid, it's responsive, and it is very impressive. Of course, with such a gorgeous display, it's perfect for reading any text, checking out videos, and browsing the web. Taking a quick glance at the music player here, we have a record-like design that's kind of interesting. I can also slide left and right to learn more information about my song collection currently loaded here. And there's a key here that you can tap on to turn the advanced settings for the music on and off. This one actually turns the max audio on, which is technology that's being used to amplify the sound. Essentially, it makes the speakers sound louder than they are, it drains the battery a bit faster, and also makes the phone a bit warmer to hold, especially if you listen to music for, I would say, 30 minutes or roughly an hour. With that being said, it definitely amplifies it, and this is actually louder than some car stereos that I've tested, so it's extremely loud with the max audio turned on, so that's not an issue at all. It's also crisp and responsive. As far as notifications are concerned, there's something called the Skyline notification on the very bottom. Essentially, it's an LED that will glow and continuously pulse blue for various incoming texts that you might miss, incoming calls, in addition to when the phone is charging. Again, I wish that there were multiple colors that you could select through, because right now it's only one blue LED as opposed to pink, greens, and reds for different applications. Taking a look at some other features next, we'll jump into the camera on here, which is easily one of the highlights. It's extremely sharp, it's easy to focus, and the images can be taken very quickly. You can also record video at 4K resolution, which is highly impressive. There's also a number of different photo editing modes and video processing modes, such as RAW, HDR, Beauty Face, and the list just goes on and on. The front-facing camera also is also perfect for taking selfies because it captures your image well even under low light situations. So as you can see here, there's a ton of detail inside of your pictures, and with this gorgeous display, it creates a stunning effect overall. When it comes to gestures, there's also a few that Oppo first created on their phones and now is almost ubiquitous throughout the Android community. One of those would be double tap to turn off. So we found this here by double tapping twice, the phone turns off, double tapping 2 times, the phone turns on again. We see this feature now on a lot of devices from Sharp, from LG, and the list just goes on and on. But this is one of the first phones that actually did that. Other features on here include a reader app, which works nicely, although for longer periods of time, I would recommend using an e-ink display to reduce optimized train. There's also a voice assistant, which is similar to Siri on Apple's devices, as well as Cortana for Windows phones. And there's also a theme store for you to change up the looks and the visuals of the phone in general. There's even Cloud Notes that automatically stores your notes through the internet and saves it onto Opal servers. You can draw, you can annotate, and create new messages quite easily. Speaking of, the keyboard on here is pretty easy to use. It's simple and it's easy to type on. Not as fast as swipe in some instances, but the accelerometer can make the keyboard larger and more comfortable. At the end of the day, the Opal Find 7 is still an excellent smartphone, even in 2015. If you're considering a flagship phone, this is still one of the better options out there, especially if image quality is one of your main priorities. It's cheaper than the LG G3, and again, it offers that 2K display that currently no other phone in Opal's lineup or even the OnePlus One series does not offer. The screen is popping, it's vibrant, and as a phone, it excels in terms of the microphone quality. Battery life could be longer, however, the build quality is excellent, and again, performance in general is outstanding with the processor and the RAM provided underneath the hood. So to learn more information about this particular smartphone, you can always check out our full written review, but this has been our video. Thanks for watching, here at OS Review.